Tonight to Book of Galatians. We'll be in the fifth chapter of the Book of Galatians. Is a church letter, though not addressed to one church in particular. But from chapter 1 and verse 2, we see it's addressed to the churches of Galatia. Galatia was not a city, it was a region in the Roman Empire. In that region were many cities. It would be modern-day Turkey today. We learn from the book of Acts that churches were established in the southern Galilean cities of Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. So these are the churches that Paul is writing to. The situation or crisis of these churches at the time of writing this letter was that false teachers had arrived and had begun to demand that these saved individuals observe Jewish ceremonial law in order to receive a full blessing from God, insisting that they submit to circumcision, other outward religious requirements. Paul writes this letter, of course, to counter these false teachers, to exhort these Galatian Christians that made up the local assemblies in that area. We'd like to, again, turn to chapter 5. We want to read verse 1, very familiar verse. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The subject matter of this verse is seen in the word liberty, and then again in the word free. Two great words, liberty and free. The antithesis of these two words is seen in the last word of the verse, bondage. Now notice also in our text, the third word is that word therefore. So it's looking back to what was previously stated, most directly to chapter 4, verses 21 through 31, where salvation freedom is allegorized using Hagar and Sarah. And our text here in Galatians 5 verse 1 is a summary statement of Galatians 4 verses 21 through 31. It's also a transitional statement moving from the doctrinal to the practical, which is what Paul did in all of his epistles. But it is here that Paul begins to press upon these Galatian believers that made up the local assemblies of Galatia, the practical aspect of being liberated in Christ. Now, Galatians 5 verse 1 contains a declaration, there is an exhortation, and there is a warning. And the message of the text is, we have been set free to be free. Set free to be free, not set free to be entangled in the yoke of bondage. So many of these Galatians, though liberated, were in bondage again. Liberated but living like slaves. And this is what Paul is addressing here in chapter 5, verse 1. It's a very common problem Not only was it a common problem in the churches of Galatia, it's a common problem today as well. So we want to speak tonight on set free to be free. Set free to be free. Well, first of all, we want to notice the declaration that we find in our text, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's the declaration. And really, it is a twofold declaration. He declares two things in those words. First of all, it is a declaring of a specific event. Christ hath made us free. That's an event. That's something that had personally transpired in the lives of those that he is writing to. Notice that in this event, Christ hath made us free. Christ is the initiator. Christ hath. Christ is the actor. We are the recipients. Christ hath. You say it over and over and over again. Christ hath. Christ hath. This is not something we have done. This is something that he has done. Christ hath made us free. It is an act, it is a work of Christ. Christ hath made us free. That means he caused us to be something that we previously were not. That is free. We were in bondage, and Christ made us free. He didn't just set us free. Christ hath made us free. That is, we're free to be free. We're to live this freedom. It is Christ hath set us free. He has emancipated, he has liberated us, he has brought us into the realm of freedom. In the declaration here, Paul, of course, is not speaking of liberty or freedom in general terms, but something very specific. The liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us what we were not before, free. So it's a liberation. It is a liberation from the greatest and most cruel bondage that there is, spiritual bondage. And everyone enters this life in the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan, the bondage of the flesh. And the only hope for the unsaved sinner is this release from bondage, this freedom. Christ hath made us free. It is a liberty from the bondage of sin. Sin binds every faculty of the unsaved sinner. The mind is bound by sin. The affections are bound by sin. The perceptions are bound by sin, the understanding, etc. So much so that they are said to be dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, verse 1. So what we read here is an emancipation from spiritual death. Christ hath made us free. A personal and real event. Something that has really transpired. It is a setting free from the power of darkness. Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath, he has, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Christ hath made us free. It is a freedom from the penalty of sin. We read in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. What that means is, no condemnation. We have been free from what our sins deserve. We have been set free from what our sins deserve. And Christ hath made us free. We're set free from the power of sin. Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That is, sin is no longer the ruling power in our life. We still sin, but sin is not the ruling power. It does not have dominion over us. The Spirit of God dwelling within has dominion. So we've been set free from the power of sin. Christ hath made us free. It is a setting free from the fear and the power of death. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:57, O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? You removed the stinger, you've removed the pain of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. But sin has been removed. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ hath made us free. Speaks of, again, a literal and personal event. Indicative of the fact that there was a time when Christ made us free. And there was a place. An event has to have a time. An event has to have a place. There was a time, there was a place. And Christ was the actor, he was the doer. Hath made us free. So it is a declaration of an event. But it is also a declaration of a lifestyle. Again, notice what it says. The liberty wherewith, or with which, Christ hath made us free. The liberty, the word liberty, is the quality and state of being not bound, not being confined or detained by an outside force. The liberty wherewith, that is, he's brought us into a quality or state where we're no longer bound, no longer confined, no longer detained by an opposing force. It's freed for freedom. Freed for freedom. Freed unto freedom. Again, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ has set us free, but he's done more than that. He's brought us into a state of freedom. He's brought us into a state of freedom. Christ has emancipated, Christ has liberated us, but he's also brought us into the realm of what that means. In other words, Christ has set us free from the correspondent life of bondage. That's what it means when it said Christ made us free. There is a life that is correspondent to this liberty. He has brought us into a correspondent life of freedom. In other words, Christ has set us free so that you and I can enjoy freedom. Freedom, spiritual freedom. Christ hath made us free. Not to be entangled again. but so that we could live the wonderful life of freedom. Again, it is set free to be free. Many are set free, not spiritually, but they're set free, and they go right back in, just in a little while, they're right back in prison. It is not Christ that made us free to be in bondage, but Christ that made us free to be free. What a declaration. This is a life that goes along with this freedom. It's indicative of a blessing. It's indicative of a privilege and an opportunity. You think about Israel in the Old Testament. They serve as a picture of what we're talking about. They were in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. God set them free. And when God set them free, what were they to do? They were to go and possess the land of Canaan. They weren't just to wander around with no purpose, but they were set free so that they could go and possess the land of Canaan. In other words, they were set free to obtain something greater. And so it is with you and I. Christ hath made us free. That is, we are to go, we're to use this liberty to advance. We're to go from liberty to abundance, just as the children of Israel would go to Canaan. This is to be our life. We've been set free so that we can advance spiritually. From liberty to abundance, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's to be our lifestyle. That's how we're to live our lives. We have been set free to break forth spiritually. Not just set free so that we can say we're no longer slaves, but set free to break forth spiritually, to advance spiritually. So you have this twofold declaration. But then there's an exhortation. Notice what it says. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. So we're talking about liberty. We're talking about freedom. And in the context of that subject, there's an exhortation regarding this spiritual freedom. The very fact that there's an exhortation is indicative of the fact that freedom brings responsibility. That's true of physical freedom. That is most certainly true of spiritual freedom. Freedom brings responsibility. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, just like the declaration, the exhortation is twofold. In the form of the positive, in the form of the negative. From the positive standpoint, it is stand fast in the liberty. Stand fast in the state of being free. Stand, of course, is the verb. It's what we are to do. It conveys the idea of a continuation. It is continue on. Advance in this spiritual freedom. Fast, of course, is the adverb describing how we are to stand. We're to stand fast. Conveying the idea that we're to be firmly fixed in this place of freedom that God has given us. We're to be unmovable in this freedom, immovable. Stand fast. The very words imply that there is opposition, that there is hostility. We have been made free by Christ. And there is opposition to that freedom. there is hostility to that freedom. Stand fast in the liberty. That is, guard your Christ-given freedom. Stand firm in your Christ-given freedom. That's the positive, stand fast. From the negative, it is be not entangled. Be not entangled. That's the negative way of saying stand fast, stand firm. Be not entangled. Do not become intertwined. Do not become snarled and captured and bogged down. Again, Christ hath made us free. He made us something we were not before. Before we were in bondage. And now He says, be not entangled again. Don't go back to bondage. You've been made free. You haven't just been set free. You've been made free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Again, this is indicative of the fact that there are opposing forces that seek to drag us back into bondage. You were not saved very long before you discovered that there was an opposing force that was seeking to drag you back into spiritual bondage. We're to use our freedom in Christ to move forward spiritually. Not to go backwards, but to move forward spiritually. Not to move from liberty to entangled again, but to advance spiritually. And then we come to a warning and a danger. The exhortation from the negative is, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, or in the yoke of bondage. That also serves as a warning. It also serves to tell us that there is a present danger. The present danger is that we can be brought into bondage again. The United States is supposedly a free nation, but our national freedom has enemies. Freedom always has enemies. So our national freedom has enemies. And you can be sure that there are spiritual forces to your spiritual freedom as well. This does not mean that we can lose our salvation. But it does mean that we can cease to live in the freedom that Christ has given us, that Christ has set us free for. We can cease to live in that freedom. And we can live like slaves. And many have. And such was true of these Galatians that made up these local assemblies in the region of Galatia. Again, the false teachers had arrived. They began to demand that these saved individuals observe Jewish law in order to receive full blessing from God. These Judaizers were telling the people, if you want to be holy, if you want to be right with God, you must follow these steps. You must be like us, basically is what they were saying. If you want to be right with God, you must be like us. A lot of people still like that today. They were introducing not only a works-based theology, but a works-based life. And the error that these Galatians had fallen into was if they added works to their faith, they would be more spiritual. Works do not make you spiritual. You're spiritual and then you work. But works do not make you spiritual. Saving faith will result in works. James 2 makes that very, very plain. For many of these Galatian believers, their childlike dependence upon Christ was being replaced by attempts to keep the law. You must keep the law in order to be holy. And they had lost sight of the fact that they were sons of God, that they were the children of God. And having lost sight of that, they began to serve from the position of a mere servant out of fear. And by so doing, they were entangled again in the yoke of bondage. They did not cease from serving, but they served from a wrong perspective. And that brought them into bondage. Many a God's child has done the same thing today. They may not cease from serving, but they serve from a wrong perspective. And they enter into bondage. They serve to be right rather than serving because they were right. It's a wrong perspective. They serve to be accepted rather than serving because they were accepted. Christ hath made us free. And from what Christ has done, we are to serve what he has done. So these Galatians, their service became a bondage. I believe that's very common today. I believe that's one of the reasons you see so many of God's people, they continue to serve outwardly, but they're as miserable as can be. Because they serve from a wrong perspective. And they've entered bondage. It's a different kind of bondage. It's not the same bondage they were in before salvation, but still bondage. So they had been moved, these Galatians had been moved and persuaded away from the truth of grace. They had been robbed of the joy and liberty of salvation. And life has become a bondage. And that is descriptive of so many today. Liberated, but yet in bondage. Liberated, but yet they live like slaves. You and I, the saved, have been set free. Christ hath made us free. Yet we have this fearful tendency to be taken captive again. To be imprisoned again. Not captive in the same way, but still captive. Not imprisoned in the same way, but still imprisoned. Not bound in the same way, but still bound. For this reason, Paul exhorts these Galatians. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. He told Timothy the same thing in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. He told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he proceeded to tell him, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Entangleth himself. Many of our entanglements are self-induced. And it is entangled himself with the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life are not necessarily sinful. It can be family, it can be job, it can be all kinds of things, just the affairs of this life. And there is a great tendency today for people to entangle themselves in the affairs of this life. And most of our entanglements are self-induced. Most of them are. And most of them regard the affairs of life. So all through the Word of God, we see God's people in terrible places of physical confinement. Terrible physical bondages. And they all serve as a picture of spiritual confinement. There are spiritual imprisonments. There are spiritual chains. There are spiritual dungeons. that are far more devastating to the child of God than any physical imprisonment or any physical chain that you might experience. There are spiritual confinements that are darker and more demoralizing than any physical place of confinement. There are spiritual entrapments that are more inescapable than physical entrapments. There are spiritual prisons that are more heavily guarded than physical places of imprisonments. There are spiritual chains that are heavier, tighter, and more restrictive than any physical chain. There are spiritual captivities. There are spiritual enclosures. And these have iron gates more solid, more unyielding than the gates of physical enclosures. Many of God's people today worry we're going to be imprisoned one day. You might be, but what's sadder than that is many have lived in prison their whole saved life. They've lived in a greater imprisonment. They've been made free, but they live in bondage. We must realize the danger. Entangled again. Entangled again. This world is a place where the enemy of our soul seeks to lay hold of each one of us. He can use anything. Doesn't have to be sin. He can use anything. In a world filled with diversions and interruptions and interferences and hindrances that easily lead into entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many have taken jobs or many other things and they entangle themselves and they no longer can serve the Lord like they ought? That's not why we were made free, to be entangled again. The enemy of our soul seeks to allure us. The things of this world seek to allure us and intrigue us and preoccupy, causing us to focus on the wrong things, causing us to adopt the wrong values and the wrong loyalties and to have the wrong aspirations and therefore the wrong pursuits. And we're entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Sadly, many have experienced Christ hath made us free, but they go into bondage. Christ hath made us free, but rather than moving into a spiritual abundance, they move into spiritual bondage. And many a child of God are bound and shackled and held secure with the yoke of bondage. And this is where they live. That's not why we were made free. We were not made free to live like slaves. We were not made free to be confined to a prison. We were set free to be free. We were set free to live free. Yet the thoughts and the vision and the lives of many of God's people are defined by the yoke of bondage. Their lives are not defined by Christ hath made us free, but their lives are defined by the yoke of bondage. That's sad. That's truly sad. To be entangled again keeps us from ascending to greater spiritual heights. To be entangled again keeps us from the abundant spiritual life. To be entangled again keeps us from enjoying God. I've said it many times and I believe it with all my heart. There are not many of God's people that really enjoy God. I mean really enjoy God. The condition of entangled again will grip and will squeeze our hearts, our minds, our wills. And they will result in lives of defeat, lives of turmoil, lives of waste. How sad. Christ hath made us free. And then that person goes and wastes that freedom, what Christ has done for them. Results in lives of frustration, lives of discouragement, lives of disorder, where everything's out of order, which brings confusion and restlessness. A feeling of hopelessness and joylessness. For you and I that can say Christ hath made us free, know that you have been set free to be free. You have been set free to live free, not to be entangled again. Not to again live under the tyranny and the oppression and the bondage of sin. Not again to live in the chains and shackles of an enemy power. That's not how we're to live. We're not to be trapped in the net. How many are trapped in the net of worldliness? How many are trapped in the net of self? How many are trapped in the net of their circumstances? They can't get past their circumstances. Trapped in their problems. They can't see past their problems. How many are trapped in the net of attitudes? Attitudes of bitterness, attitudes of unforgiveness. Christ hath made us free. We've been set free. And now we can pray to God. We can worship God. We can praise God. We can fellowship with God. We can serve God. And yet many are entangled again, so entangled that they are powerless. And they cannot pray. They cannot pray. They're too entangled. They cannot worship. No, they can go through the motions. But they cannot worship. And they cannot praise. And they cannot fellowship with God. And they cannot serve God. They cannot see God. They cannot hear God. Made free. And yet continue to live a miserable life in bondage. Set free to be free. Set free to live free. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. What a wonderful life. The Lord has made us to be something we were not. Free. Christ make you free, you shall be free indeed. Leviticus 25, you read of the year of Jubilee. It was every 50th year in Israel. That ought to be our life. A life of Jubilee, which is a life of joy, a life of festivity, a life of celebration. We have been made free. And we ought to celebrate that fact. I've been set free. I've been made free by Christ. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't live like you've never been set free. Don't live under the control of the chains. I don't know if you remember, I borrowed a chain one time from Brother Dennis, and we preached on chains. And we just make the noise, that chain. You can hear it if you listen. You can hear the chains that God's people are shackled with. Even as they walk into the house of God, you can hear the chains. That's not the life that God has called us to live. The chains have been broken. We're to live free of the chains of this world. Again, this is something more than just being set free. He's made us free. He's made us free. Certainly included in that is being set free, but there's something more. Being made free. Thank you, Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd